This is the anthem. Here's what you came for.
Welcome to the Disney Beat, a podcast brought to you by thedizinsider.com. My name is Sean Nyberg, and I will be covering all of the Disney headlines to keep you informed as you start your week. What's up, you guys? This is Sean Nyberg, and this is being recorded on the evening of Thursday, November 12th, 2020. And we're going to call this a Disney Bite instead of the Disney Beat, because it's just a little breaking news story, and it's just going to pop in here real quick to kind of keep people updated on what's going on with the Disney company. So this afternoon, on Thursday, November 12th, there was Disney released its fourth quarter earning report, as well as the earning report for the entire fiscal year of 2020. And, you know, you don't need to be well-versed in the structure of the Disney company, and you don't need to be well-versed on the whole concept of finance or the financial system to know that it wasn't going to be great news, right? The numbers weren't going to be great, and we expected losses because these are the financial reports for the last 3 months, as well as the whole last year. And what do we know from that? We know that, you know, Disneyland is still closed in Anaheim. We know that Disney World was closed for a while. And also they currently are at limited capacity, and a lot of their hotels in the resort are closed. We know the cruise lines are still closed. And we know that the international parks were closed and they've been open, and some were reclosed. So we knew it wasn't going to be great news, because while the company as a whole is impacted separately from COVID-19, the parks and the cruise line, the cruise part of their business, they bring in a lot of cash, right? So, you know, we think about their studio and how much, you know, some of the big blockbusters, you know, like The Lion King live action last year, and, you know, stuff like Avengers, which was, you know, which they own through Marvel, Star Wars and Aladdin and Frozen 2. You know, they've been big hits, but, you know, they split that money with the distributors, you know, the theaters. They have all these really big advertising costs. So, you know, what has always been Disney's cash cow has been their parks and their cruise lines. And those have been shut down, basically, you know, or hobbled at some. So we knew that the money, the income wasn't going to be super great. But it actually was better than expected. And, you know, people might go, well, you know, is that really a good thing? I mean, you know, they still had losses when you compare how the company is performing this last quarter versus the last quarter in the last fiscal quarter in 2019. But, you know, is that really fair to do? And I see some people who run Disney blogs or who run Disney YouTube channels who are saying things like, Disney, you know, parks lost X billions of dollars. And it's like, well, I mean, kind of, yeah, if you compare it to last year, but no one who follows business closely and who is, you know, who knows what they're talking about would really compare how a company is performing now versus how it performed last year when there wasn't a global pandemic, right? So, but let's look at the two big things that, that really actually impressed the investment community. So analysts, people who, you know, who do this stuff professionally, and they provide reports and expectations to investment firms, they had anticipated that Disney was going to report an expected 71 cent loss per share. And Disney actually came in at a 20 cent loss per share. So you know, loss per share, not good, but the fact that they actually beat expectations was cheered on in the investment community, as well as the revenue they brought in. While it's way down compared to last year, analysts had anticipated that Disney brought in $14.2 billion, and they actually brought in about $500 million more, $14.71 billion in revenue. And so because of those two things and a bunch of other things they announced, you know, so they announced these numbers after the stock market closed in the United States, right? So it was 4 o'clock on the East Coast, 1 o'clock in the West Coast. They release these reports. They always do it after the market closes. And, but there is such things after hours trading, and you can kind of watch to see how stocks are doing after hours. And you can kind of see how, kind of the general idea of what the investment community is thinking. And once they release these numbers, Disney's stock price just jumped. It was up over $5. Initially, it's kind of bounced around a little bit. Right now, when I'm recording this, it's a little over $4, but it's still up. And that is a huge, it's not a huge indicator. It just, it flat out says that the investment community and just the business community at large has really high hopes and thinks of Disney as a really, has a really bright future ahead of itself. Because, you know, the stock market reflects the future strength or the perceived future strength of a company, right? Not the immediate kind of status. So, you know, there might be some people who are confused who are thinking, well, how did this stock price jump up when, like, you know, they're furloughing people? And not only that, they're laying off people that they had previously furloughed. Well, what the investment community is saying is they're really liking how Disney is weathering this storm. And while the company is getting beat up pretty good, and it likely will continue for the next few months, it's in a really strong position to weather the storm and be able to come out of it really strong. And then once the COVID-19 pandemic is under control, however that looks, the company's likely going to do better than ever, right? So let's just look real quick. I'm not going to just start throwing numbers out there because that can get really mind-numbing, especially in a podcast, in an audio form, to be like, 2 billion, 1 billion, half share, 2%, whatever. But let's just look really broadly kind of at what they are, what they shared, right? So the first one actually will be a real number, but it's really important. They announced that Disney Plus, the Disney Plus streaming app service, has 73.7 million subscribers. And today, when they announced it, it was the exact 1 year to the day from when they launched it. I know it seems like just yesterday, and it also seems like 10 years ago, but they launched Disney Plus 1 year to the day, and they are reporting 73.7 million subscribers. Now, if you don't follow this stuff, you might be thinking, okay, like, you know, is that great? Is that horrible? I don't know. Well, when they first launched it a year ago, analysts were expecting, and, you know, Disney as well, people were expecting, who follow things like Netflix and follow success of Hulu and, you know, all these other streaming services, they expected that Disney would hit 60 to 90 million subscribers in the first 5 years. So by 2024, the, you know, a good showing by Disney would be 60 to 90 million subscribers. Well, in 1 year, they have up over 70 million subscribers. And so that news is just, you know, the market loved that. And just so you know, the market and investors love things like subscribers because you're hooked. You know, obviously people cancel and whatever, but they like things where people are hooked into a monthly payment plan, right? Which makes sense. I don't think that needs to be explained any further. So that was huge news. And, so, you know, the investment community, and then, like I said earlier, the losses were a lot, while there were losses, they weren't as bad as people expected. So they really liked that. And so those are probably the two biggest things that really gave Disney some a really strong showing. Some other things about streaming, Hulu, you know, Hulu is owned, majority owner by Disney. Comcast owns part of it as well, which they own NBC, and, you know, they're going off into their Peacock streaming service. And so as part of their contract with Hulu, Disney, I believe in a year, or I think maybe one or two years, I should have had that, but Disney's going to end up owning the whole thing. So right now, you know, they partly own it with a competitor. And keep in mind, Comcast also owns, they own NBC and they own Universal. So they are, not just do they compete in terms of movies, not just do they compete because of Disney owns ABC and Comcast owns NBC, they also compete with the theme parks because Comcast owns Universal Studios in Disney, you know, in Hollywood and over in Orlando and even in the foreign markets, they're competition. You know, Disney obviously brings in way more money and way more people, but Universal does, you know, compete with them, and they do pull away some of the clientele. So I'm sharing that because, you know, their Hulu subscribers are up as well. They have 36.6 million. And also the other streaming service that Disney has in the United States is ESPN Plus. So it's a streaming service that is, you know, attached to their ESPN platform for live sports, you know, analysis, all that stuff. So all of their streaming stuff is up. Obviously, Hulu and ESPN have been around for a few years, but they had a huge jump this last year. Disney Plus, brand new, a massive jump. So Disney Plus, over 73 million. Hulu, 36 million. ESPN, just over 10 million. So that was really good news, and investors really liked that. And there was just a big question about moving forward, you know, because they're a little they're still getting income, right? They're still, obviously, they have revenue of, you know, up over $14 billion. But, you know, their big source of just cash in hand are the parks. And so with those kind of pretty hobbled right now, they don't have as much just kind of cash flow, right? That they can start throwing into all these projects to invest into big things, you know, invest into a huge movie, invest into a new park, or invest into, you know, a new expensive series like The Mandalorian. And so they were asked a lot today, the CEO and the CFO, what they're going to really, because they have to be more cognizant of where they put their money. And, you know, they basically said they're really just going to all in on their streaming. They call it direct to consumer, but it's their streaming platform, because they feel that's where the future is. And I think most people would agree with that, right? People are cutting the cords left and right. Yeah, just a few other things that came up today, because what they did was they released a report. 30 minutes later, the CEO, Bob Chapek, and the CFO, Kristen McCarthy, they presented the information, and then they allowed for a question and answer portion at the end with people who represented some of the big investment banks. So before I just cover a few things that came up during that, I just want to share too, a lot of times during these calls, because they do it every quarter, so they do 4 a year, they will either straight up announce something new, like a new project or a new expansion, or, you know, they'll kind of hint at it or whatever. They kind of kept that quiet this time because next month, on December 10th of next month, they have the Disney Investor Day. So it's like they were already supposed to have done this by now, but obviously COVID threw it off, and it was going to be more interactive and more in person. But it's going to be a virtual Investor Day, and this is where they're really going to start talking about some of the projects they have lined up. So there really wasn't any big breaking news today about any future projects, and they kept saying stuff like, you know, we'll talk about that more in the Investor Day in December. So we're going to cover that at the Disney Insider. We're going to cover that here on the Disney Beat. And so that will likely have more information regarding some of the future projects. So that'll be exciting. Some things that Bob Chapek did bring up were that Disneyland, the Disneyland Resort in Anaheim, is not going to be opened through the rest of the year. So through the end of 2020, for sure, that he didn't say that it was going to open up in January. And I don't think it will. And I don't think anyone expects it to, just because of what's going on with the COVID-19 pandemic. And California is being really strict with their reopening guidelines. So no one really expects that to be open. But he did just, you know, put it on the record that for the rest of the year, for sure, it will not be reopening. They did say that they have a lot of signs that the people are really interested to come back to the parks. Even with the pandemic going on, they are showing the future bookings at Walt Disney World are at 77% occupancy, which is really high considering what's going on right now. And so they, and it's been increasing tremendously since the summer. So they're showing that as a sign that people have a lot of, they're showing it as two things. One, people have a lot of interest to get back into the parks and a desire for that kind of entertainment. It also is showing that people are have trust in the Disney company, especially when it comes to their parks, that they're going to be clean and they're going to be safe. And if there is something that can be done to keep things safe, that Disney will do it. And I just think that is one thing that Disney, since day one, since, you know, Disneyland opened in the 50s, it's always been known for as being really clean and putting the guest safety and that kind of stuff first. So we see that in terms of people booking future trips to Walt Disney World. And we also, he also indicated that they're basically at capacity, even though it's a limited capacity, they're basically at capacity for the Thanksgiving weekend. So that's a good sign for the future that people are, you know, willing to come back during the pandemic. So once, you know, maybe by next summer or by next spring, when we start getting a vaccine out and things start maybe turning around a bit, the people are going to have no problem going back there. So, and the other thing that he talked about in terms of showing interest of future visits were there's a high level of booking for the Disney cruise lines for the end of next year. So this time in 2021 and throughout 2022. So people, you know, I think it's very reasonable and rational to think that by this time next year that we'll have a vaccine and that the real push of the pandemic, the real pain and you know, all that is going to be controlled by this time next year. So what's cool is that people are booking with that anticipation, which lets investors and let people know that people have an interest, right? So those were really kind of the bigger news regarding the parks and the cruise line. You know, they talked about how they, during the COVID-19, they shut down the production at the movie studios and the television studios back in March. But since then, they've been allowed, you know, the animators and stuff could work from home, and they've been able to churn out a lot of animation stuff. And they are going to, you know, they've begun starting production again on a lot of projects. So what's just amazing is how much new content it's producing for the Disney Plus, primarily Disney Plus, Hulu as well and stuff, but Disney Plus streaming service. They really, really think that's the key right now. And I 100% agree. I think that's what's really kept Disney from kind of crashing and burning during this COVID-19 pandemic was the switch a year ago to the streaming service. So, you know, they really see that's where the future is. I'm going to wrap this up pretty quick. The other couple good things they talked about was that ABC, they own ABC, that's doing really well. Their primetime is, you know, they're Dancing with the Stars. They have The Bachelor, Bachelorette, all those big hits. They have the number one morning show with Good Morning America. World News Tonight, the evening newscast with David Muir is number one. ESPN has been suffering a little bit because of kind of an erratic sports schedule, you know, live sports schedule. So like the NBA finals where, you know, everything was kind of truncated and it was delayed a lot. They have Monday Night Football because of ESPN. You know, those numbers are down. They're kind of flat down just a little bit, you know, and a lot of it has to do with just, you know, a very weird season. So they're not really taking any of the viewers or any of the interest that is being shown right now as a sign of any problems in the future, because everything's kind of seen through this lens of COVID-19. And, you know, they made a good point too that they also have been fighting the election coverage, like with the debates and with, you know, the actual election. And so that kind of pulls away a little bit from the sports audience. So that was just a little odd. It was a very interesting, I got a weird vibe when he was talking about ESPN, and from some of the investor questions, it seemed like some people were a little skeptical about how much Disney is going to be leaning into this. They did say, though, that they're going to be putting a lot more effort into transitioning from the ESPN cable network to ESPN Plus, because they obviously think that's the future. And also with Hulu Live, it allows for live sports, which they said they really think that's where they're going to be putting a lot of their future investment into. Also, they own FX, which has, you know, has a bunch of really more adult themed series, and those numbers have been up. So the revenue, so they've a lot of good revenue from FX. It kind of made up for some of the losses with ESPN. You know, they didn't have their movie studios were you know, way down, but that was expected because nothing's really been released in the theaters. So moving forward, they are going to be having the investor day come December. They're going to speak a lot more about their upcoming projects. They have a laundry list of shows that are lined up to be released coming up soon on Disney Plus. So, you know, like I said in the article on the Disney Insider, you know, if you just take like a general look at the numbers and you might go, oh my goodness, you know, oh, losses. You know, that was expected. No one expected them to have, you know, to not have incurred major losses, especially when you compare from last year to this year. But they were much, much less damaging than industry experts expected. And, you know, when in the finance community and in the investing community, where a company lands on either side of the expectation game is kind of more important than exactly what they have to say. So, the investment community has given a big thumbs up so far to what Bob Chapek has been doing right now. And I think that just says a lot for Disney coming up in the future. And we're going to have a lot more on this. There was just a lot more information that didn't cover. You know, they have an international streaming service that they're going to start launching. Disney Plus is going to start being picked up in a lot more countries, even just this next week. So all that stuff looks really good. Again, the current today, like snapshot of the Disney company today, knowing nothing else, it looks, you know, doesn't look great because they need so much of their audience is not really conducive with a global pandemic. However, if you know, just use your brain a little bit and you look at the entire story and the entire picture, you can see that things look really bright for the Disney company. And that may not help a lot of people, especially if there are cast members who were laid off and they're sitting there going, you know, I can't pay my rent. Great, the Disney company's future is good. But, you know, it's better than the future being bleak and that the company is going to start having to do things like sell off assets like the parks or their, you know, resorts and stuff. So I think, and I know the investment community agrees with me, that the what they've done so far has been really impressive to survive this, and they're in a really good place moving forward. And once they can get through that COVID-19 vaccine, and that can be widely distributed, and they can start having more control over the pandemic, that the company is in an amazing place to really continue to grow and just really take off. So, you know, avoid some of those clickbaity articles on Twitter from other Disney blogs and those YouTube videos that just blast with big bold letters, you know, Disney's losses, Disney's, oh, you know, that's just, you know, it's childish, it's immature, and it just shows a lack of understanding for how the investment community works, how businesses work, how corporations are organized, how, you know, you can structure debt, just everything that, you know, just because you grew up next to the theme parks and you have filmed yourself for a while riding rides doesn't mean you know anything about business. And oftentimes the tweets or the YouTube videos that say Disney is crashing, right? Or epic failures, those get the clicks. And I get it. If that's what your goal is, get clicks, and you don't care about being right or being honest or being fair or being smart, that's where you go. But if you really want to look for some actual analysis, this is where you want to look, come to the Disney Insider, listen to the Disney Beat. We're going to give it to you straight up, and we're going to give it to you from a mature and a intelligent and intellectual, thoughtful manner. So stay here. We're going to walk you guys through everything. Thank you so much for listening to the Disney Beat and the Disney Bite here with the little short pop-up news section. And we'll see you guys Monday morning for the regular Disney Beat. Don't forget to read the entire story about the earnings call over on thedizinsider.com. That's thedizinsider.com. You can follow me, Sean Nyberg, on my Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Sean Nyberg. That's SEANNYBERG at Sean Nyberg. And make sure to follow the Diz Insider at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at The Diz Insider. And yeah, we'll see you guys Monday morning for another episode of the Disney Beat podcast with all the rest of the news for this past week. Hope you have a great day.